Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about government-codified sodomy, government's hostility toward Christians, being codified in a bill that's called Respect for Marriage Act. And Mitt Romney was one of the key rhinos in the Senate that helped push this bill through. I'm looking at an article that says, Senate signaled support for the amended version of the Respect for Marriage Act. Respect for Marriage Act that supports says provides federal protection for both same-sex marriage and religious freedom. Senator Mitt Romney was one of 12 Republicans, this article says, who voted in support of the amended measure, while fellow Senator Mike Lee voted against it. Romney said in a statement, I appreciate the efforts of Senator Baldwin, Collins, and others to address this concern and heartily support of this resolution, this legislation. But Senator Lee said in a tweet after the vote, he did not believe that the measure's religious freedom protections were enough. Quote, I voted against the motion to proceed with the Respect for Marriage Act because the religious liberty protections were severely anemic and largely illusionary, according to Senator Mike Lee. Religious Americans, this is Mike Lee, Senator Lee, religious Americans will be subject to potentially ruinous litigation while the tax-exempt status of certain charitable organizations, educational institutions, and nonprofits will be threatened by this new law, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a disrespect for marriage, not a respect for marriage. In fact, I'll read you this article and then we'll take our caller. This article says, the so-called Respect for Marriage Act disrespects marriage, reality, and the citizens who embrace it. Ryan T. Anderson, Ph.D., president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, issued the following statement. Marriage is the union of husband and wife. It's bad enough that 5 members of the Supreme Court wrongly claim that the U.S. Constitution requires a new definition of marriage. But if the Senate votes to codify this redefinition of marriage, all it will do is add fuel to the fire, of those harassing and penalizing Christians and citizens and organizations that hold the truth about marriage. The Senate bill pays lip service to religious liberty and conscious rights, but it does not offer any meaningful protection for religious liberties and conscious rights. The article further says, had the Senate sponsors wanted to, they could have explicitly stated that no individual, no organization could be penalized by the government for operating according to the conviction that marriage unites husband and wife, particularly that the IRS may not be able to strip away any such organizations in their nonprofit status. But the bill offers no such protection. It's not a compromise, not even a bad compromise. It enshrines a false definition of marriage protection. It is not a compromise at all. Marriage laws will have to have their day in court when they get sued. That's not public policy for the common good of the citizens in America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, are you in favor of, do you embrace, do you agree with the further pieces of the puzzle being put in place for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda to proliferate in America any more than it already has? I believe we have Greg Youngblood on the line. Greg, I'm delighted to have you with us today. Thank you for being able to take time from your busy schedule in the cold country up there in the southern tip of heaven. Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, and at the same time, there's a little bit of distress, a sorrow for a nation that has turned down a dark path. It seems like we keep turning down dark paths. As we look at this most recent piece of legislation, you have to ask, where will it end? It's always, what's the next step? What's coming next? This is really a giant leap down the path of hate crimes legislation. Understand, this is not, as the left accuses the right of doing something, know that they're always guilty of that which they're accusing their opponents. And when they name a piece of legislation, understand it generally means it's doing the opposite of what is named. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, this respect for marriage, there's no respect for marriage at all in this. Marriage is ordained and defined by God himself in the scripture. And when Congress does this, I believe it's not just a mild offense, but an absolute evisceration of constitutional liberties, first liberties, the first words in the First Amendment, first liberties. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Now, different people view this different ways, but I see marriage as an establishment of religion, an establishment right out of the Bible, an establishment from God. Does government have the right to define words or redefine words or redefine worship or redefine matrimony? Redefine holy matrimony is in the scripture. That's one thing that's really perverse. Another thing I should say, why would an individual that's living in known outright sin before God, why would they want to have anything to do with something so spiritual as holy matrimony? Now, I don't really believe that they want anything to do with something spiritual. They would like to corrupt those things. And I really don't even think they're doing it on purpose. I mean, literally, this is the prince of the power of the air that's deceiving. And you know what? Lost people will act like lost people. I understand that. My biggest gripe, if you will, my biggest complaint, if you will, is with the believers that are putting a stamp of endorsement on this and saying, oh, yes, we should do this. It's not just ignorance. It's foolishness. It's an affront to God. It's a stench in the nostrils of God for you to condone these things when the scripture says, no, the scripture has a defined plan, a definitive goal, a definition for these words. It is not our right, nor is it anyone's right. It's certainly not the Supreme Court's right, and it's not these legislative officials' right to redefine any word, much less a word that is clearly defined in the scripture.
Yes, I have said, Greg, and you've heard me say it, it is a demonic battle between government and God. It's government saying that we're going to take the authority to override what God says. It's government's battle against God, but it's a satanic battle, to say the very least, promulgated through the offices of government, even at the highest land today. By the way, what is the weather like at the southern tip of heaven?
That's funny. It's absolutely astoundingly beautiful, but it's a little on the chilly side. It was... So it's 38 degrees right now. The wind chill factor is 33. I was just down at the shop, and I'll tell you what, I came back and I felt like an ice cube, but that's because I have so many years of that Florida blood in me. Winter has not yet begun in East Tennessee, and when it does, we'll see the snow in our front and backyards. Lately, we've just been seeing snow on the mountain peaks, the 5,000 and 6,000 foot elevations. There's snow all over the place, and it's absolutely beautiful.
can look out your front door sitting on the front porch and see the mountains covered with snow across the way from you. It's a beautiful scene if you can tolerate the cold. Greg, when we think about what is taking place with this new law that's being passed, it's the act of sodomy that's being codified. And yet in Genesis, the 19th chapter, the scripture is very, very clear what God does in relationship to that. We'll read a couple of verses and get your take and response based on that. In Genesis 19, verse 4 and 5, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came to thee by night this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." That's the origin of what you see taking place today with what they're now calling the LGBTQPI plus, 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 whatever the designation is. Do you believe, and let me ask a couple of questions in one and let you respond. Do you believe that once this is done, the LGBTQ agenda will be over, they'll be satisfied? Or do you think they will want to add then polygamous marriages, et cetera, et cetera? Do you believe that as what we're seeing today taking place, that this will be part and parcel of God's judgment against America as a result of it, as he did in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Well, let's back into the text you're just reading there about Lot. And in the following verses, Lot says to the people, "Do not do so wickedly. Do not do so wickedly." And their response was immediate. A violent response, a visceral hatred, and it was literally demonically inspired. They wanted to attack and to kill Lot. And we've seen this over and over. If you see any street protest that involves this sort of thing, it almost always gets violent. It almost always gets – there's no peaceful communication. There's no let's have a dialogue on this. It's hateful rhetoric. It's spitting. It's shouting. It's screaming. It's cursing, almost every single time. That's not a response. That's not a Christian response. We're getting this on the side that says we just want to be left alone, or at least that a decade and a half ago that was we just want to live in peace. We just want to be left alone. It very quickly morphed into bake the darn cake, or we're going to sue you. Produce the flowers and bring them to our wedding and participate in our stuff, or we're going to sue you. We're going to destroy you. Now, keep in mind, they did this to Christian businesses. Did they go into Muslim business? I didn't see a single Muslim business that got sued. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. It's an attack on Christianity. This is not a preservation of any individual right. It's an attack on Christianity. And understand, folks, if you back into this from a legislative act, those years ago, you mentioned DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, that was passed under Bill Clinton, as you stated. And I saw it as kind of a setup to start with, because it's a straw man kind of a situation. Government doesn't have a right to define that which is defined in Scripture. Legislatures don't have a right to say, hey, we're going to make this word mean something totally different. The courts don't have a right to say, we're going to make this word mean something totally different. And that's what took place. But the horrific effect was seen when Barack Obama came into office and he said, I will not defend the Defense of Marriage Act. When he spoke those words, he was violating his oath of office, because the oath of office says that he will faithfully read Article 2 in the Constitution. You know, faithfully executing the laws is what we see in Article 2, and he swears that he's going to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So he's saying, I will abide by my job description in Article 2. I will do the things it says I will do, and it's faithfully execute the laws, not faithfully execute the laws that you like or faithfully execute the laws that you prefer. And he came in and immediately said, I'm not going to faithfully execute this law. He made the order that we will not defend the Defense of Marriage Act. So it was the straw man that then – he didn't tear it down. He burnt it down by not defending it and allowed DOMA to fall under Obergefell. And you know, if a president has that right, then you have no rights as a citizen. You have no liberties because we're not, they're not defending the Constitution. They're not defending the basic principles. And again, I go back to the First Amendment. They're making a law now that abridges a portion of what the Scripture has to say. What's the next thing they're going to abridge? What's the next thing they're going to repeal? Can they repeal the Scripture? Can they tell you that you don't have the right to religious liberty, that you don't have a right to worship as you see fit? That's what the pilgrims came here for. About half of those pilgrims that were on the Mayflower that landed at Plymouth Rock, they were Puritan separatists. They came here to exercise religious liberty. Our founding fathers, when they signed that declaration, you know what the most important thing to them was? Religious liberty. When Ben Franklin's dad pulled stakes and left Great Britain and or the, that region, when he pulled chocks and left, why did he leave? For religious liberty, because they were clamping down. When Patrick Henry rode over 50 miles on horseback to defend three Baptist ministers that were on trial for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, why did he do it? For religious liberty. Why in the world do we have believers today that are so ignorant as to think that religious liberty will continue to exist if they're unwilling to stand for it today, if they're unwilling to stand and be counted when it's needful, when it's necessary? Why in the world will you leave this battle to your kids and your grandkids and hope and pray that they have the ability to buy with blood that which you gave up freely? You're giving it up, folks. If you're a believer today and you're saying nothing, you're doing nothing, you're giving it up. So what was fought for, bled for, died for to grant you in the way of liberty, you are literally spurning it, casting it away. You are throwing it away as rubbish, and your posterity will pay the price for your apathy.
Absolutely. Greg, let me remind our listeners, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you dive in, jump into the dialogue and discussion, ask the questions. Do you believe that this would be a necessary law? Do you believe that it's necessary to have this codified? It's basically the government codifying sodomy is what it's doing. Greg, you recall for quite some time, I'd said, in fact, for the past 30 years or better, I'd said that the ultimate goal of the sodomite movement was not just to be left alone, not just to have the, quote, freedom to do what they wanted to do, not just be left to the position that they could have the immoral lifestyle. Their ultimate goal was to break down the walls of the church, i.e. Christianity, and force believers to not only embrace, but to celebrate their lifestyle, giving them the blanket of approval as they would see it, that God has approved what they're doing. In fact, I'm looking at an article here that says, and it's by Tony Perkins, in the so-called Respect the Marriage Act, disrespects the institution of marriage will become national policy. The Senate will paint a bullseye. Listen, the Senate will paint a bullseye on the backs of all concerned parents, all people of faith who don't want to see one more woke agenda it pushed through their local schools and for their families. This destructive bill will go further than the status quo. It equates belief in natural marriage with racism. Do we want this to be taught in our schools? The bill also subjects adoption agencies, women's shelters, and other nonprofit religious organizations serving their communities to risk of lawsuits if they do not bow the knee to the LGBTQ agenda, even if doing so would harm the people they're called to serve. And it supercharges these religious freedom violations by creating a right of privacy action and aiming any private activist with the ability of bringing harassing lawsuits against the Christian organizations that will take thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and years to settle. This oppression would be backed by the full weight of the federal government and aimed squarely at anyone who dissents, including concerned parents, Christians, and Christian organizations. In bold print in the Tony Perkins newsletter, make no mistake, parents concerned about the crazy policies being pushed in their local schools today will be further muzzled and sidelined if this bill passes, and it has passed, ladies and gentlemen. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. What's your position? How do you stand on that? Greg, I believe that as we look at this bill, as we look at it, I need for us to talk about the last few minutes we have on this broadcast to talk about what the bill actually redounds to and what it will do. The question I have, exactly what will this bill do? How will this Respect for Marriage Act impact Christians and religious ministries? You've already touched on it very succinctly and eloquently. Number one, it will cancel our First Amendment right, where Congress, First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So, Greg, explain that further for our listeners that may not have ever read the First Amendment, that may not know that we have a First Amendment, and what that means and what this law now will do about our First Amendment.
It's interesting because the horrendous response will be a flood of lawsuits, mm-hmm. and many individuals will put in applications to work with Christian ministries. Think about that. If you're in an open, sinful relationship, according to the scripture, why would you be interested in going to work for a ministry that upholds the scripture and the standards in scripture? Why would you want to do that? Except for the opportunity to do great harm to that ministry that you see as, you know, your enemy. Now, keep in mind for homosexuals listening today, appropriate ministry, appropriate application of the scripture is actually loving. It's providing a warning. It's saying, hey, these are sins. This has to be addressed. And the only way to address it, the first and foremost, the final solution to address this is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not that sin is not able to be cleansed, not able to be washed away. It's accepting Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of all this, but many within the homosexual community have had their eyes blinded. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind. That's what the Romans text says. And because of that, that group that's been turned over to a reprobate mind sees every believer, every legitimate Christian organization as their enemy. I have news for you today. They're not your enemy. They're your friend, and they seek to save lost souls all over this world. To step in and do harm, you're not stepping in and doing harm to that man. You're not beating up on your enemies. You're literally attempting to beat up on God. When Saul was on that road to Damascus and he was struck down, he was headed to persecute believers. And the question from the Lord himself was, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So Saul, he didn't see it as, matter of fact, he thought he was serving God. Saul, mm-hmm. but he had right. orders from people that had religious credentials. But I have news for you today, folks. As you assault the church, as you assault Christians, as you assault Christian businesses, you are attempting to assault God, and he takes it very, very personally. I have evidence of that in my scripture.
Amen. Greg, one other thing. Not just that we're watching that eviscerate, cancel the First Amendment, and it literally does. It eviscerates the First Amendment. And secondly, this law will target all religious schools, all religious colleges, all religious universities. It will punish millions of Christian Americans who hold to a central biblicist worldview. It is designed to do that very thing. In fact, the American Family Association, in their newsletter dated yesterday, says the purpose of the Respect for Marriage Act is to make sure that all conservatives never restore traditional marriage and values. The bill would make it difficult to overturn any existing Supreme Court opinions using the same approach that was used in Roe versus Wade. That approach entailed working with state legislators to encourage the courts to continually revisit the issue of abortion, to continually question whether abortion protection under the 14th Amendment was constitutional or not, and the sanctity of human life. This writer literally says that the main thing is that it will make sure that conservatives never restore traditional marriage. It goes on to state the Democrats and some Republicans are claiming that the Respect for Marriage Act has been fixed so that it protects religious liberties. This writer says, and it is from American Family Association, says this. It says it's fixed to protect religious freedom. This is a clear lie, this writer says. The proposed changes to the bill apply in relation to the sodomization and the celebration of marriage. In other words, the proposed amendment really only protects some that claim that cannot be harmed by this, but it does not protect Christian schools, universities, does not protect Christian adoption agencies, does not protect Christian nonprofit organizations, etc., etc. The Respect for Marriage Act will be used by the IRS to strip away Christian schools and universities of their nonprofit statuses. The act will be used by the Biden administration to target many Christian nonprofit organizations, as many as possible. The act will be used to prevent any state from challenging or even questioning the reigning ideology of same-sex marriage and the entire LGBTQ agenda, end quote. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half. In view of what we see happening, in view of this legislation, in view of the future escalation of the persecution and the prosecution of Christians, how should we then live, as Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 33:10? What should be our posture? What should be our response? How should we respond?
2 Chronicles 7:14, for the believer, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face. There's something else there. I will hear
and
from
pray.
Heaven and heal their land. And pray and seek my face, exactly. I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That's what the believer ought to do. For those individuals that absolutely refuse to do that, I need you to read 2 Timothy 3:1-5 and understand you're having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. If the scripture is not powerful, if it's not valid, if it's not for today, then you're literally, there's a false worship that's taking place. You can't deny the power of Scripture and also call yourself a believer in this world. We have a lot of hirelings in the pulpit. Now, I would say to those hirelings, go ahead and get out and walk away. We need to know who you are today. Real pastors, real shepherds should stand up and be heard today. This is the most critical time I've seen in my entire life for believers, for pastors to stand up and be heard, be counted today.
It's imperative, Greg, and I'm thankful for your position on that, your stand, and your being spot on with your statements. It's my prayer today that our listeners would have heard with open hearts to realize where we are and to take a stand. And as Franklin Graham said in the October issue of Decision Magazine, if you're in a church where the pastor is silent on these issues, get out, find a church where the pastor will speak the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.